Welcome to the Practice of Possible podcast with your host, Coach JPMD. So January 20th, 2024, the Practice Impossible team flew out to South Carolina to participate in the IndyDocs annual winter meeting. The IndyDocs is an organization whose mission is to join doctors together to preserve, protect, and promote the independent practice of medicine to ensure that patients in South Carolina have alternatives and access to high quality and value doctor driven care. We interviewed several attendees at the meeting, from IndyDocs president Marcelo Hockman, who was on our podcast, to South Carolina representative Celeste Davis. All of our attendees, or the attendees, had one thing in common. They all wanted to ensure that independent doctors have a say in patient care and the future of healthcare in the U.S. I've compiled this episode, which is a special episode, with all the best interviews of the day. And at the end of the episode, I'm going to share some resources that I gathered that will help you learn how you can support the independent doctor movement, whether it be in your city or your state. So here's Dr. Hockman and his opening thoughts on IndyDocs and the independent doctor movement.
Well, this is really exciting. Thank you, Dr. Hockman, for having us on at your event.
And thank this you for is coming. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, so we saw each other a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, right. And this is an awesome event, an awesome venue too.
We're excited. We're looking forward. It's our first time around, so should be a good start.
So why IndyDocs?
Well, Independent Doctors of South Carolina is a group of physicians, regardless of specialty, who are intent on really bringing doctors and patients back into control of their healthcare. As health systems have gotten bigger and bigger, medicine has gotten more depersonalized for patients and for physicians as well. You know, physicians are finding themselves in situations that are really kind of antithetical to the way we think and the way we act. So IndyDocs is going to change the way healthcare delivery is seen in South Carolina. And we're focused on educating the public, making sure that they start demanding services from independent physicians, which are much more cost effective and more value driven than the big systems, more personalized, and get physicians to start offering some things that were not available here in South Carolina, because we've now repealed the certificate of need law. And finally, to get investment and get industry to start seeing South Carolina as a great place to do business. So
that's awesome. And we're standing right next to Blue Cross Blue Shield as well. So how did you get an insurance payer to come and into this event?
So I think it's really important. You know, a lot of practices are very dependent on the third party payment system. I mean, that's just the reality. A lot of practices are cash only and membership and those type of things. And then there's hybrid groups. But the reality is that Blue Cross is, you know, the major player in South Carolina. And we have a great opportunity to work with them. They have now acknowledged that independent practices are more cost effective, better value than the same services provided by outpatient departments of hospitals. So if that's the case, then we ought to be working together to promote independent practices and independent physicians. So they're very interested. I think we're going to come up with a very innovative way of patients taking back control of their healthcare, whether they're insured or not.
That's awesome. This is a great event, and thank you for having this. And thank you for being a champion for this cause. Because, you know, second season of Practice Impossible is all about independent practices and independent physicians. Right. So you are the leader in South Carolina in helping physicians.
We're very intent on making IndyDocs really the organization that is championing the rights and the practice of independent medicine. So
thank you again.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for coming.
South Carolina Representative Celeste Davis serves the citizens of House District 100 and is the first woman to hold that seat. She has a vision for South Carolina and is a strong supporter of independent doctors.
So, Representative Davis?
Yes.
So, tell me, what brings you to IndyDoc?
Well, I'm here to hopefully talk about a few ideas that I have. One being preventative healthcare. I see a lot, especially in the people that I associate with, my friends, my sons. I think there's a real need, a real desire for people to start preventing disease and get ahead of it before it rules their life. And so I think there's a real need and a real, I think it's time to talk about preventative healthcare. Also, I'm very interested in artificial intelligence and how that will, I believe, revolutionize the healthcare industry, because doctors are going to have access to so much information, and I really think diagnosis is going to be easier.
That's awesome. So how do you think IndyDocs is going to play a role in that?
I think the voice of IndyDocs and that in the voice of that independent doctor is going to be very important.
So what would be the one thing, if you had presidential powers today, you would change in healthcare?
Well, probably if I had presidential powers, one of the biggest things I would change would be the way we provide rural healthcare. I believe that the way we provide rural healthcare, by building a hospital and then sort of stepping back and waiting for it all to happen, I think that's the wrong way. I think it's an outdated model. I really believe that we should take a more modular approach and bring in healthcare providers and facilities that meet the needs of that rural community.
Well, it sounds like you have a passion for this. So
I do.
Thank you for coming on the Practice Pop.
Absolutely. Nice to meet you.
Marguerite Germain and Sandra Nash Hannigan are two dermatologists that stopped by our booth. Take a listen to their thoughts.
So, if you don't mind telling us who you are.
Yeah, happy to see you. Happy to be here today. Marguerite Germain. I'm a dermatologist from Charleston, South Carolina.
I'm Sandra Hannigan, a dermatologist also from Charleston, South Carolina.
And so why IndyDocs?
Well, you know, it's always good to have a voice, and, you know, doctors have to stick together, and we have to, you know, let our issues and be known, because we want to always do the best we can to serve the public. And sometimes there's things that can be kind of serve against that. So we want to make sure that we get out there and we kind of pull together and we know the information so we can do the best we can do.
It's awesome. Why IndyDocs for you?
Well, it's an independent doctors association, and we're both independent physicians. So we just have a voice, as well as meeting colleagues that are going through the same challenges that we are. It's always good to have people on your side to help problem solve as well.
So what do you think is the biggest challenge to independent physicians today?
Just staying independent. You know, it's there's so many groups that are forming, and staying independent is very difficult.
We don't have a collaborative group of attorneys and business people supporting us like the hospital systems do. We do everything. So when you make everything a big system, it just makes it harder for people to have an independent voice.
Awesome. Thank you for stopping by.
Dr. Daniel Rosner is a respected otolaryngologist in South Carolina. He runs a private practice and sits on the board of IndyDocs.
So why IndyDocs? Well, first of all, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Daniel Rosner. I'm an ear, nose, and throat doctor in Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
And independent practice, been independent my entire career since finishing my residency in my 29th year. And interestingly, Marcelo was my attending in my residency at MUSC. So we've been friends for years. And he approached me one day about IndyDocs, his kind of creation. And I love the concept. I want to see strength amongst private practitioners. I want to see it thrive.
And why do you think it's so hard for physicians to do what you did 29 years ago?
What's for 29 years? Well, you know, I mean, just so many changes. Like when I first moved to Myrtle Beach, I don't think there was a single employed physician by the hospital or a private equity organization. And now, as you see the statistics, it's 70% are now employed. So the changes are just drastic. So there's a lot of external forces make it hard to have a private practice.
So I have one question I've been asking a lot of different guests here. And if you had executive powers, if you had a presidential power, what would be the one thing you'd change in healthcare today?
I do think the one thing is that I wish there was more transparency between the patient, the doctor, in terms of of the financial relationship. I think that, you know, we all have a good doctor-patient relationship from a medical standpoint, but I think that when you have all these third parties involved, I think that it just muddies the water a lot and makes a just, I think it creates a lot of animosity. So I'd like there to be more of a free market type approach.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for
doing this.
Thank you.
Dr. Katie Cole, affectionately called the healer's healer. Dr. Cole is an award-winning psychiatrist and well-being change agent and advocate. She works with healthcare leaders and organizations to reinvigorate their passion for medicine and to help prevent costly burnouts by expanding the well-being community and helps create a healthier life-work balance.
So, Dr. Katie, Katie Cole.
Hi there. Yes, Dr. Katie Cole.
Tell me about yourself.
Well, I am a psychiatrist by training, an osteopathic physician, and I have training in functional integrated medicine, and I've been in hospital leadership for about 20 years. And I recently moved to South Carolina from California, and I'm in the process of really pivoting my career, and I'm really passionate about healthcare reform in terms of healthcare well-being for all employees and physicians.
And why Indie Docs?
Well, I actually had the pleasure and honor of interviewing Dr. Hochman on my podcast, Hope for Healthcare. And he really is so passionate about what he is doing at the state level to try to impact, you know, independence for physicians and to bring back the doctor-patient relationship and to improve quality of care and access of care along with decreasing costs. So I'm really excited to, you know, learn more about what he's doing at the state level. I know he helped in a lot of different ways in terms of repealing the we're getting called back. But anyway, there's multiple projects that he's been working on that have really impacted physician care at the state level. And because it's in alignment with what I really want to be doing with my life right now. I want to create a better healthcare system for my colleagues, my patients, and my future colleagues in medical school and residency. So that's why I'm here today.
Awesome. And we're going to have you back because I have more questions for you.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Matt Wagner is an ACO administrator and describes his experience and why IndieDocs is important to him.
Matt Wagner?
Yes, Wagner, yes.
And tell me, what do you do?
I'm with Palm Beach Accountable Care Organization, and I'm the Vice President of National Growth Strategies. So kind of work with helping to expand our ACO into many other states outside of Florida.
And why IndieDocs?
IndieDocs, we're actually, Palm Beach ACO, we're actually owned and operated by independent doctors. So, and we partner with independent doctors. So independent docs that want to maintain their ability to remain independent, oftentimes need to create additional revenue sources, and an MSSP ACO is a great way to do that. They could earn a lot more money with being a part of it, eliminate the need for MIPS and MACRA, which takes a lot of time, and also really improve the overall quality of care of the patients across the board, and kind of remain independent as long as they can.
Awesome. So, what do you think is the number one thing that is a deterrent or is keeping physicians from going independent?
From
being independent.
I think money's probably got to be part of it. You know, primary care docs, as they mentioned in our conference earlier, they're really not paid the best. The money's they're the tip of the spear when it comes to population health and value based care and that kind of thing. But the money doesn't often reflect that. So a lot of times, practice, you know, there's other practices they go into being a part of a hospital, being employed there, and now they're kind of on an RBU schedule, and it's a whole other thing. So it's kind of hard to break out of that once they're, you know, I would imagine.
Yeah. And so you're president. Yeah, so let's say you're president of the United States. And what's the first thing you do as a president to fix this broken system we have?
Oh, my gosh. That's a really, really good question. First thing, I'm going to take a minute there. First thing to fix the problem. Man. I'd say more skin in the game for everyone involved. Patients a lot of times, you know, they're, you know, patients, providers, the whole system overall. I think we do a lot better if we had more skin in the game.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. All right, thanks.
We caught up with Lee Gross, who we interviewed in season 2, episode 3, or our 50th episode, and he has such a wealth of knowledge and experience in the direct primary care space. Someone I wish the government listened to more.
Oh, Dr. Gross, great talk. Some of which we heard on the podcast, but
what do you think about this audience and IndieDoc and what they're doing here?
I think it's incredibly important for there to be a platform for independent physicians. You could debate about how many doctors now are still independent, 30% or whatever, but it's clearly less than half of the physicians in the country are now independently owned and operated practices. I just heard from my alma mater where I did my residency training just this year, University Hospitals of Cleveland, an inner city based primary care training program in Cleveland, one of the best in the country, just decided to close its primary care practice in the hospital because they said that primary care is no longer a hospital-based training specialty. You should only be trained in outpatient. So it's almost as if they're just giving up on the training of doctors to say the only reason doctors exist now is purely for referrals into the system. And so doctors don't need to be trained in the hospital just to refer patients on to specialists and into the system. A doctor is the same as a nurse practitioner, is the same as a physician assistant, when your sole role is to refer patients into the system. Any of them are perfectly capable of seeing a patient and referring them on and triaging them to the right specialty. But if you're actually looking for the advanced management of patients, with full scope primary care, it is critical for independent doctors to work together, independent primary care, independent specialties for management of the patient. I think it's critical for the future of healthcare. And I think it's time for doctors and patients to work together to restore healthcare and bring it back where it belongs between the physician and the patient.
Absolutely. I'm in total agreement. And so if you had presidential powers, what would be the first thing you did on day one?
Oh, that's a long list.
Oh, just one, the main one.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just do this because it's low hanging fruit. I have been lobbying for years for health savings accounts to be recognized, to be spent for direct primary care memberships. That is something I lobbied at the federal level. It's something that we've taken to the White House and even had a presidential executive order signed to compel the IRS to recognize direct primary care as an eligible expense for health savings accounts. We've met with the Secretary of the Treasury over the issue and over a dozen Internal Revenue Service lawyers, and yet we still don't have formal recognition from the federal government over the treatment of DPC relationships. So I would do whatever I can within my power to finish that task that I've spent the better part of a decade trying to secure. So I served on the board of an HCA hospital for almost 15 years. I don't think it works within their structure. It's not their model. They provide excellent care with the system that exists today. I just think the system that exists today is broken and it's too expensive. People can't afford it. We can't afford it. As a country, we can't afford it. So I don't understand why HCA operates the way they do. But in my years, even from a board level position, I was not able to secure price transparency for cash-based surgeries. So for example, if I'm an HCA hospital, I'm not picking on HCA, insert any large corporate hospital in here.
They're the big boys.
They are at the moment. Yes. So if HCA's operating room is booked out for 2 months at full price, full freight, you know, they're again, charge $120,000 for a surgery, maybe get paid $50,000. Why would they sell that same surgery to somebody else for $18,500? Now, let's take that same argument to a rural hospital that has massive capacity. They're fully staffing an OR that's sitting with lots of empty slots on the schedule that provides excellent quality. But for them to get one additional case at $18,500 is a huge victory for them. So if you were to find a way to steer some of that low-risk elective volume into a rural facility that's just gasping for air, and then also working in the arrangement like we did to restructure the employee health program around them utilizing and servicing hospital services to keep them brisk. I think there's a model there to save rural healthcare that I just don't think HCA and corporate medicine is prepared to do, because if HCA were to take that same exact approach to a rural hospital, they would not do that. What they would probably do is close down all the hospital beds, convert it into a freestanding emergency room as a source of referrals into the main facility is what they would likely do.
Well, thank you for your comments.
Dr. Keith Smith was one of my inspirations for the Practice Impossible season two. He's been practicing some radical methods in cash paying pricing model of healthcare. His concepts could radically transform the U.S. healthcare system if implemented at a larger scale. Do you think what he's doing is possible in your area? Take a listen.
First meeting you in person, Dr. Pierre, Jude Pierre. I have a podcast, Practice Impossible, and you are practicing impossible. And I'll just give you a quick story. Second season, this is my second season. First season was all about managed care. Second season, I said, what?
I've been on your podcast.
Because I you were the second person on my list. I just couldn't, I didn't know how to get in touch with you.
Oh, here I am.
So I'd love to be able to get you on the schedule, but, you know, I don't know what your timing is, but.
I'll give you my email. We'll get it set up.
Wonderful.
Fun.
What do you think about IndieDocs?
I think it's radical. I think it's more radical than the people in this room even understand.
I think I agree.
This guy's scared shitless. I don't care what he's saying. This scares him to death. Blue Cross wants nothing to do with me in Oklahoma, and I am 1/10 of what they pay the hospital for the same thing.
So why do you think they don't see? They don't get it?
Because they make more money by taking a large charge and applying their discount because they skim. They charge for that discount. That's called claims repricing, and that's a big part of their revenue. And the other thing is the hospitals will tell them, we'll give you a 40% discount, but our volume or revenue has to be this number. And if you don't meet that trigger, then you only get a 20% discount.
Gotcha.
So then they shun me because they're not interested in cheaper and better. They make more money when it's not.
So do you see niches in the country and in areas where this could actually work? Because it works for you in Oklahoma.
37 state chapters of the Free Market Medical Association. Okay. It is.
So it's working.
This is like a time capsule. I mean, but it's going to happen here now. I mean, of all the states, if I were going to pick one or two where this would never happen, it would be South Carolina.
Wow.
And it's because of Blue Cross.
What about Florida?
No, it's already happening in Florida. That's Lee Gross.
Yeah, you know, I got Lee Gross, but as far as others.
DeSoto, there are surgery centers that have copied me in Florida. No, Florida is much more friendly. South Carolina, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Alaska, they suck. They are really heavy handed. But this is exciting.
This is super exciting.
This is groundbreaking.
Yes.
So there you have it, our first road trip. And in case you were wondering who is on our team helping make this happen, well, it's John Paul Coriati. He joined our team at the end of last year, in 2023, and he brings a wealth of national radio broadcasting experience. And we are in the final stages of planning a weekly episode of Medical Business News of the Week. So stay tuned for more details. It's going to be really exciting. We have some pretty neat things planned. Take care and be sure to share this episode with your friends and colleagues. Peace out.